Sportscast, May 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, YouTube, and iTunes. And if you are on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. Today's sponsor is Insta Bible app. Create verses and pictures, and you could get the app on the App Store. We got Justin on the we got Mr. Justin Riley on the line. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, glad to be here, especially talking about some football.
Today we have a special guest, but I would like to have Justin introduce our guest for today.
Man, I am glad to do it. I'm very excited about this opportunity today, folks. I have a man on the line. If you're an Alabama fan, you know his name. If you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you definitely know his name. This guy's a legend, a guy that I definitely idolized growing up and wanted to be like in the sports world. And he's definitely the reason why I became an Alabama fan. And to me, he was the real prime time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is George Teague.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's up? Thank you for that, man. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, man, gotta give you your props, brother. Glad to have you with us today.
Yeah, you started off making me sound old, though, man, talking about when you were growing up. You know, I was your idol and all that.
It wasn't that long ago, though, brother. We're not too far apart in age. You still complain? What you talking about?
I know. I got some skills, but, you know.
Yeah.
So, George, obviously, can you tell us how you've been doing for this past month during the whole pandemic?
Yeah, man. You know, for the first part of it, and of course, there was always a scary one that was going on, but it was actually kind of cool to be able to get the extra time off. It kind of hit like right after our spring break. So I'm an athletic director and a football coach in Texas. And right after our spring break is when we got the call and said we weren't going back. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, I'm going to get a little bit of extended time. But 2 months later, I am now. I got a beard. I got an afro. I'm looking bad, man. I'm ready to get back to work now, man. I'm ready to get back to work.
Yeah, we all have the afros and definitely know that we all need a good haircut soon. So, George, can you tell like the audience, what are you up to these days?
Yeah, so I'm fortunate enough that after I retired from the Dallas Cowboys, I jumped right into high school football. Did have the opportunity to go coach in college and the pros decided on high school. So I'm currently the athletic director and head football coach at a high school called John Paulkin High School in Plano, Texas, which is just in the suburbs of Dallas. So it's pretty much Dallas, Texas. And I've been at this school now for 3 years. I've completed 3 seasons, and I've been in high school football 17 years now. It's crazy.
Well, being a coach now, man, you, of course, back in your day, you know, you played for some pretty legendary coaches from Gene Stallings to Mike Holmgren and even Bill Oliver. What are some of the things you took from each of those guys and then incorporated it into your coaching style now?
Yeah, and I actually do have a piece of all of them, you know, because Gene Stallings, so, you know, when Bill Curry came in first, he was real disciplinarian, hard nose, you know, could motivate you. That's really where I went. But he was very much, I'm going to say militant is the word that I can use. And Gene Stallings, after he came in, was very, very similar to those traits. But he allowed us to be a little bit more, I want to say grown up, you know, where he kind of loosened up on some of the rules and restrictions and said, hey, you know, you guys are growing men, you should be able to make some good decisions on yourself. So I really take that from Coach Stallings as well to with my players that, hey, although we have to be strict and disciplined and put that in our kids, kind of like Bill Curry, we need to give the guys a little bit of freedom just so they know how to make really good decisions. And then, you know, going to the Packers and playing for Mike Holmgren, he was very similar in the same way as both of them kind of mixed. But he probably was more so of a, didn't have to have his hand on everything. Kind of, didn't micromanage. Maybe that's the best way I can put it. And so I've taken that too. You got to have good staff around you. you know, to
no doubt.
Efficient, and let them do their job. And if they can't, then you get rid of them. But, you know, he had an all-star staff when I was at Green Bay, that's for sure.
George, which coach really influenced you the most?
Out of those three, or just in general?
In general, you go from high school all the way to pro.
Well, because there's probably two. I'm going to say who my two mentors are. They probably they're pro coaches, or have been anyway. So anyway, one of them is Mike Zimmer. He's the head coach at the Vikings now.
Yeah,
the Cowboys played for him. Learned a tremendous amount from him. About scheme, you know, film watching, breaking down stuff, really understanding tendencies of that. And so I lean on him a lot for a lot of information, even today. You know, I still keep in contact with him and talk a lot of football. And another one is actually a guy by the name of Clancy Pendergast. I don't know if you guys heard that name, but used to be the defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals, coached to the Cowboys, recently was the defensive coordinator at USC. Yeah, he is someone I probably speak to weekly, especially when I run into stumps as a head coach, you know, to do that. So although I've learned a lot from a lot of coaches, I mean, Jimmy Johnson and, you know, other guys, but these guys are ones, those two guys are gentlemen that I really talk to a lot, you know, still to this day.
Well, I'm going to back it up a little bit. Can you kind of tell the people the story about how you got into football? You were actually playing soccer at one time. Is that right? And your mama told you what to do?
Yeah, no, that's true.
I heard a little bit about it. I just wanted to hear the whole story.
Well, see, so the deal was I was a military brat, right? So I grew up on a military base a lot. We lived overseas a bunch, and right in the middle of my – third through sixth grade, I lived over in Germany for probably some impressionable years, right? When you're trying to figure out what you're going to do in from sports. So I got into soccer very heavily. It was really, really good. And I actually ended up playing on a German soccer team. That's how good I was at soccer.
Ooh, dang.
Couldn't speak it, but, you know, so as that started happening, I felt like I wanted to be the next Pelé.
Hey, man, you could have.
Yeah, wanted to do that. So then when I came back to the States, and I was a little dude, you know, then I came back to the States, and these guys were big, man. Got into Montgomery, Alabama, and the running back, what I thought I wanted to be, you know, I was a mere 155 pounds. The running backs were 185, 90 pounds. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, you know. It was the first time that I had to make a decision on whether or not I was going to sport I was going to play. So I actually chose to go play soccer. I said, man, I don't think I can do what those guys do because they're bigger, you know, and they're just different. And so I made the decision and actually got back, you know, in the house and started talking to my mom about it. And she, thankfully, talk me through this scenario, literally talk me through it. When we're talking about your mom, though, she just kind of started talking to me about my strengths and my weaknesses and pretty much said, well, everything that you just talked about sounds like you need to go play football and you need to figure out which position you need to play because soccer ain't it.
You need to go wow.
Figure out what you want to do. And she said, if you don't want to be a running back, if that's your problem, they're too big, well, you know, how do you use your speed? What position do you got to be? What do you got to do? And I said, well, I don't know. I could, you know, I like to hit people. I can be on the other side. And so anyway, kind of how I went down and I went out and decided I was going to play football and worked my way up and became a free safety for the Jeff Davis Volunteers in Montgomery, Alabama. And rest is history, man. Ended up getting a scholarship and, you know, went into the league. And, you know, otherwise I probably could have been, I don't know, probably out here dribbling a soccer ball around still.
I got you. I'm sure that you're talking about putting on that weight. I'm sure once you start getting some of that Montgomery food and Montgomery cooking, that weight started coming on pretty quick, didn't it?
Something about them collard greens,
yes,
candy
sir.
Yams.
Yes, sir. I'm from the country too, brother. I know how you're supposed to eat. So,
so well, you know, Which is interesting you say that, George, because I watch a lot of soccer, and in the past 10 years, U.S. soccer has been getting a lot of players from Germany that are, you know, that were born to American parents, or their dad was German and like their mom was American, or vice versa. So it's quite interesting to see that, because you almost had that opportunity. You mentioned that in high school, you were an All-State. You changed position from cornerback to safety. What happened there?
Oh, yeah. So because of my size, I think it was probably more advantageous for me to be a cornerback. Again, I was fast, rangy, quick feet, you know, that kind of stuff. So it was kind of a natural fit. Again, when I was in high school, I started 155 pounds. Was tiny, and as I started to grow and hit the weights and got a little taller and all that kind of stuff, because of my physical ability, the coaches really wanted me to go and try to play safety, because we needed one, and they figured, well, you know, he can get sideline to sideline, he can tackle well, we got really good corners, so give it a whirl. And they still allowed me to play a nickel back, you know, if you think about the next championship game, that's when I got the interception playing man-to-man down, you know, on the slot guy. So I still had those skills, but I was a whole lot more physical than some of those. You know how corners play, like Deion Sanders and some of those other guys that want to hit people. That wasn't me. I like hitting people. So.
I don't think Deion ever hit anybody, did he?
I ain't gonna say, he might be listening. Well, or something.
I'm sorry, Brian. I got you. what about your boy Mark McMillan? He liked to hit folks, right?
Yeah, Mark McMillan was a ball hawk, man. Yeah,
he would
come up and tackle you and strike you, but he had a little man complex. You know, all little men want to get scrappy and fight and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
He's one of the quickest dudes I've ever seen, though, and be around, just emulating his feet. I mean, I learned a lot from him just because of the way his feet were. And I was like, oh, my gosh, if I could do that, you know. It was just unbelievable how fast he planted, you know.
Oh, no doubt.
It was really good, really good.
But, yeah, that transition from corner to safety, I mean, obviously it panned out pretty well for you. Matter of fact, you know, your final two seasons at Alabama, you led the conference in interceptions back-to-back years. So I'd say that's pretty good. But I want to ask about that team. At what point, you know, did y'all realize, hey, we got a contender here? I mean, don't get me wrong, y'all guys had some dudes. Y'all had some serious iconic players in Alabama history. But when was that moment you realized, I guess, yourself and as a team, that y'all had something pretty special going?
Actually, it was the year before for us younger ones, believe it or not. You know, maybe we weren't all the way sold on a national championship. But I'll tell you what, when we got our butts handed to us against Florida, down in Florida.
I remember that.
My junior year, it was embarrassing. It was... Not, you know, we never, ever pictured that ever happening to us. And I know it weighed on me personally as a player. And I think it hit on a lot of us that were playing. And that was really the moment where we decided, okay, this ain't happening again. You know, this is Alabama. This is personal. And, I mean, I didn't lose another game after that for the remainder. So I think that's, you know, kind of when it started there. But then once we got into the senior year, you know, we were just, like you said, loaded in our defense. We were so fast and so aggressive. I mean, I don't know what it was. Maybe I can look up the stats afterwards, but I'm sure we weren't giving up less than 10 points a game. I mean, people were lucky if they were getting a touchdown.
It had been like a complete fluke for that to happen. Go ahead.
No, the goals that we had were that. I mean, we were upset, man. We were literally about going to fight in the locker room if you gave up a touchdown. You know, that was the deal. So when it happened, it was like, come on, bro. You know, this dude ain't even.
Oh, I hear you.
So So
yeah, speaking of that, man, you know, as good as that defense was, I mean, it, y'all had an NFL ready defense. I mean, it's just go ahead and call what it is. But why weren't people giving y'all the props? I remember this. People weren't giving y'all the props you deserved going into that national championship game. You know, even, you know, beforehand, this guy you might know, Lamar Thomas, was saying that this third ring is going to be the icing on the cake. And, well, of course, you took the icing from him. What was the mindset going in after hearing all that chatter leading up to that game?
Well, let me answer your question why people didn't give us this. And it's going to sound so corny, but if people will think about it, it, you know, it's kind of that old saying that everybody likes the rough guy sometimes, you know, or the loud, flamboyant person or whatnot. And that's not who we were. So, you know, they thought we were soft and because we play with so much class. I mean, that's what we always talked about, win with class. So we didn't have to talk a lot of trash, and we didn't have to fight, and we didn't have to do all this other stuff on the field. So I think people thought, hey, here's this nice kid getting ready to come in and fight this bully in, you know, the Hurricanes. So they didn't expect us to walk out of there like that. But we beat them with kindness, if I can put it that way. We beat them with kindness. Because, yeah, there was a whole lot of trash talking, but they didn't know down inside of us that, dude, every single one of us competitors. You couldn't tell Langham that, you know, he couldn't cover someone, or you couldn't tell Eric Curry or John Copeland that, you know, hey, this guy's going to block you. Man, you crazy. I mean, this went all the way around. Derek Oden, who's going to stop Derek Oden from coming through? He was going to knock your head off.
Yes.
He tried to run the football up the middle of our defense. You know, it just wasn't going to happen. And if you thought that Tommy Johnson or Willie Gaston or whoever else didn't have some fight, man, that's all we did, compete all the time. So one tidbit for you, I'll give you, if most people don't hear, this would be locker room talk, is we used to compete against each other in our weight room or in the dorm or whatever, literally wrestling. We had wrestling teams where we competed against each other. Me and Willis Bevel, we called ourselves Axe and Smash.
Axe, I like that. So demolition.
We challenged anybody, wide receivers, linemen, whatever. We're going to do tag team wrestling, and somebody was going to get their butt kicked, and they were going to lose. And, you know, although we were fighting with each other, it built a bond that when we got ready to fight against someone else, no, you don't pick on our brother. You know?
So is there any film of that that was lost that we might can have reemerge and maybe put together like a last dance type thing for y'all?
Absolutely not. That's totally against the rules.
So George, how would you compare the Alabama era back then compared to right now, what's going on with Nick Saban? Is it, would you say there's a lot of similarities, or what are your thoughts?
No, I think there is, even though the times are different and the way you have to play the game is a little bit different. I think why there's similarities is because of who Nick Saban is, meaning is what I was saying to you earlier. He's disciplined. He's strict, right? It's that old, you know, military style, just put your finger on someone and say, this is what we're going to do to be successful. And that's what Alabama football has been. I think when we got away from it, you know, although we might have had nice guys, nice coaches, they really lost the discipline in the players. And that's not Alabama football. So, you know, yes, we got a lot of talent. Yes, they can know how to recruit kids to get them there and all that stuff. But what I see is the hard-nosed football that, hey, we don't go out here just to play. You know, we're going to try to step on your throat and win, you know, with class, of course.
Which I want to piggyback on that. How was the whole recruiting process for you back then? I mean, here on the – I think the whole sports cast, we do talk about a whole lot about recruitment. How was your experience with that?
Man, it was fun. It was fun. Although it was different because we didn't have social media to go post every offer. Things that we used to get the snail mail. So the only thing I could post is I still have a very good visual of every letter that I got or from every school. Every school that I got a letter from, I pinned it up on my wall. Yeah, I probably don't even know what tacks are or something like that, but I used to tack it up on my wall, so I had a bunch of letters from the schools. But, you know, it was really fun to be wanted and pursued, and then just to be able to take the official visits and the trips. You know, it was really, it's stressful, but it was good, especially when you get down to the end where you have to make a decision on where you're going to go, because that's a huge decision. But I'll tell you what sold me in the end. My last little piece was when Bill Curry came into my house and sat there, and I think he had me, my mom, my dad, my sister, my girlfriend, everybody was ready to run through the wall, and it was like, all right, you know, are you coming to Alabama? And they're like, yes, yeah, all in, let's do it.
Yeah, I wish
That's
you
where it
would have been
was.
so shy.
Now, who was your close second? Would you can you say who your who was your close second?
Yeah, Georgia Tech, believe it or not. Georgia
Oh,
Tech.
wow.
I was going to Georgia Tech. Because honestly, guys, I wanted to go to, I thought I was going to go to Auburn.
Wow.
Just
What?
because I thought it was
What?
engineering school. They, at that time, they were, you know, they had Lloyd Tillman, Reggie Slack, all them guys. They were causing a lot of ruckus. They were pretty good. I didn't like my trip when I went on a visit. Scratched them off the list. And that's how Georgia Tech ended up on it. Engineering school, Atlanta, Hotlanta, you know,
Yes,
all that kind
sir.
of stuff. But then it just, they were 1-9 at the time. Nah, can't do that either. And then Bill Curry came in and said, what are we waiting on? You know, let's do it.
Like that. So, you know, when you first got to the league, you know, you seemingly, to me at least, exploded onto the scene. Matter of fact, one of the first memories of you I had was in that first playoff game where you picked that ball off and took it back 101 yards for a pick six, which I think is still a record today. Is that right?
Yes, I think one guy might have broken or came close, but yeah, he's
But
still up there. It's one or two.
how did you make the transition so easily? Is it just because, you know, Bama made y'all, you know, NFL ready, or what was, I guess, yeah, what made it so easy, at least, you know, from a fan standpoint?
Well, I'm going to say so, yes, Alabama had a lot to do with it just because of the scheme. We were playing, and it changed from the first year that Alabama to the years that Coach Oliver came in. Okay, so I give him a lot of credit, and Coach Stallings, of course. But the reason why it was so simple, I think, and I was fortunate, right? So
Yeah.
the defense I played at Jeff Davis was very similar to the defense that I played at Alabama, which is very similar to what I played at Green Bay. So the schemes were almost identical. I just had to relearn terminology every time. So it was easier for me to be able to say, oh, you know, they call that, we called it rock and roll, you know, and they called it whatever, you know, Black Hawk or something. So all I had to do was memorize what it was from the old days. And then I could just go play football because I already knew it, you know, where some guys were having to learn a whole different scheme. So yes, that's a Bama deal of being able to say, hey, we're playing high level. But I was very fortunate in high school that we were learning high level stuff, which made it real easy once I got to the pros and jumping into the same system. I never had to change from a four-man front to a three-man front or, you know, some crazy five, you know, DB or six DB set, you know, consistently. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, definitely.
yeah, so it was easy in that standpoint.
So when do you feel like you really hit your stride, I guess, in the league, where you just basically, you know, feel like you had arrived?
After I got to the Cowboys, the second time, probably the second time. So that would probably be my fifth year. I mean, although I was playing wild in Green Bay, you know, I ended up getting traded, went to the Falcons, got cut, then, you know, came to the Cowboys, played well, playing with a bad attitude at that point because I'd been traded and cut, you know. Then I went to Miami, basically ended up, you know, agreeing to walk away. Then came back to the Cowboys, and that's about when I said, okay, you know, we gotta stop doing this and became ultra focused on the football piece, you know, really changed my body and everything. And just those last 4 years I thought were phenomenal playing for the Dallas Cowboys.
Now, playing for the Cowboys, you know, and us watching like The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, did the Cowboys have that championship, you know, feel to it when you were there? Like, hey, no one could beat us like the Bulls did?
Oh, absolutely. It was, you know, so my first year coming in, they had just come off of those three Super Bowl championships. And everybody was eager to get back. So that was always just a talk in the weight room. How do we, or in the locker room and everything else. How do you win? How do you win? You know, Jerry Jones, that's, you know, we're the best in the world. You know, we're not talking about in the state or something of that nature. You know, we got to be the best. So it was just a mindset. We got to do it. Now, you know, we haven't been there, you know, the Cowboys all the time since then, but that's the way the locker room is presented. That's what the organization is about. That's what Jerry Jones is about, you know, to say, hey, we got to have these standards and just get to the Super Bowl every year. So there it is.
We got to wrap it up soon. So, Justin, two more questions, and I have one question for him. So.
Okay. Well, of course, I have to ask about it. I know you've answered this question many, many times, but it seems to me like historic moments where you go hand in hand. You know, of course, with Alabama, it was a strip. Of course, with Dallas, it was defending the star. Matter of fact, you've got two paintings of you, maybe even a third that's out there. can you tell us a little bit about that defending the star moment? And is this something like now you and T.O. can joke about?
Well, first of all, I haven't talked to Terrell Owens since that incident. So, no, it's not anything that we can joke about.
Cause, oh, wow.
Yeah, exclusive on the Sportscast.
We don't communicate. Yeah, we don't communicate at all. Now, I've tried to communicate with him beforehand, early on, you know, because it's just, you know, it's a game, man. We're playing. Yeah, we're heated up and all that kind of stuff, but we're still professionals. And I just wanted to, you know, really reach out and say, hey, man, it's no difference than me and Lamar. You know, there's all the hatred at first, just kind of deal with, you know, like me and Lamar now are cool. You watch it on Twitter or whatever, you see it, right? but not with Terrell Owens. We had there. I don't think we're ever going to get there. So, you know, and that's because of the way it was in the game. I think we were getting our butts kicked. He was handing it to us. He was having a tremendous day. There was a lot of trash talk, fellas. I mean, a lot of trash talk between he and I, him and the team and everyone else. And, you know, when he went out to the star the first time, everybody's kind of like, really? You know, what is this all about? You know, this dude. So, you know, Emmitt answers back, does his little deal. And I knew that T.O. was going to score again. I mean, they were really beating us. They were down on the goal line. It's like, oh, they're going to throw in the ball. It's going to be a touchdown. And I was really just thinking, what is he going to do? What is he going to do? You know, so I'm watching him from afar. And then I see him just start to go take off. And it was like, all right, enough is enough. You know, and I just immediately took off and got him. You know, now I forgot there was 90,000 people in the stands and all that kind of stuff. I apologize. I went crazy there for a minute. But there's certain things you can't do, man.
I'm with you, man.
This is interesting stuff, exclusive. Which player that you played against or maybe in like the same team that was the greatest player you ever saw play either with or against?
Well, that ain't fair.
It could be T.O.
Yeah, so I'm going. Yeah, right. So I'm going to answer. I'm going to ask your question. I'm going to give you a solo answer, but I need for all your listeners to think about what I'm about to say. Right. So when you say that, the people I've played with: Dan Marino, Reggie White, Deion Sanders, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. What else? Did I say Troy Aikman already?
Not yet.
Sterling Sharp. I mean, I can go on. And all the people I played with, people I played against, Barry Sanders, Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, Metcalf. I mean, shoot. I mean, with Tim Brown. So, I mean, these are all Hall of Famer guys that either had a tackle or Terrell Davis. Shoot, we keep adding them.
Wow, that's a tough list.
So there's a lot of dudes when I say that. But, you know, I will narrow it down for one for you that I say that I would think is the best all time. And that would be Barry Sanders, just because that is the one guy that scared me to death. Have to tackle that dude is ridiculous. You had to get lucky to tackle him one-on-one, or you had to have a whole lot of guys around him. So he gave me nightmares.
It's been confirmed, Justin. It's been confirmed. Barry Sanders is great.
Well, I can't disagree there, man. even if there were a ton of people around him, that son gun could still squirt out of there and take it yard. I'd never seen anything like him. I don't know if I've seen anything like him since. Yeah, I gotta agree with that, man.
Because if you didn't think, I mean, when the coaches say we need all 11 guys to the ball, that's what he meant. Because if you took one guy off or some guy, they got him, then all of a sudden he's running out of there. Nah, bro. You might not have him, so you better get everybody there. Hold on.
So who's a better high stepper, you or Dion? Come on now.
mine always looked better. Yeah, yes. He did it probably more often. I think mine was a little bit more sweet. Did you see my pose, man? I had it in the left hand out wide, looking at the camera. I mean, it was a piece of work, man.
Yes, sir.
You can't duplicate that. Yeah, you can't
not
duplicate
at all.
That. So I'm going with mine, bro.
Hey, no argument here.
Good job. Well, this is a part of the show where we ask random question. I see that Justin could ask this as a random question. So about the cook-off, go ahead if you want.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, man, but because I've seen both you and your former teammate Marv McMillan going back and forth with these amazing dishes and grilling and whatnot on Twitter, I got to ask, if we have a final cook-off showdown, who's going to come out victorious?
Ooh.
Because y'all can throw down, man.
What's on the
y'all
menu?
Y'all really can.
So, let me tell you where I win. I'm going to win on the grill. We go out on the grill, and we got the coals burning and all that kind of stuff. I'm gonna toss some things up on him that he might not be ready for. He's doing good with his little steaks and all that kind of stuff, and I got those two. But I think I can lay it down on the grill. Now, I'll be honest and say I don't know if I can handle him in the kitchen, on the stove, or whatever. That ain't my deal. He likes to cook in there and do all that other kind of chef stuff like that. I can't. That ain't my expertise. So if you want to narrow it down to the grill, and we out back, you know, having a brew and got some meat and veggies. I got him. I ain't got my own sauce like him, that old Grilling McMillan with that special sauce, whatever it is he has. But
maybe it's time, man.
I can put it down on the grill now. Let me put it down.
Well, if it does happen, promise me we'll see this stream live in some way, because this is epic stuff.
But George, what will be? Go ahead.
I'll say I get a chance to see him a lot, actually. So maybe we'll try to work out something and do something fun at some point in time. I'll make sure I let him know.
So what will be on your menu? What would you cook?
So who's judging? Are you the judge? Or
Justin and I. I guess we'll just be the judge.
Well, and I got to have parameters, because I don't know if you're looking at the way it looks, the way it tastes, because I would do something different. You know, I wouldn't put some more of that the lobster back on the grill.
Man,
you know,
son.
I got to put the lobster on there, because most people don't really know. And you really have my corn, so everyone sees all the meat. But the way I cook my corn, I ain't going to tell you, the seasoning I put on my corn, I put it in there. Oh, my gosh. My family about to bite their fingers off, because they're like, man, what is this? You know, so got the seasoning on there. But, you know, everybody cooked their ribs different. I cook my ribs like Alabama ribs. They're not St. Louis ribs. You know, that
man, there's only like one way to cook ribs. You're right. Alabama style.
By the way, Memorial Day weekend is this weekend. Perfect time for a cook-off. Sportscast challenge.
Yeah. Say, man, we can do something. We'll put it around the game. Have y'all come down here to a Cowboy game. We'll do it.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I mean, I need a team now since you had me denounce my allegiance to my other team. So, I mean, you know, for your entertainment day on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I had to do it. I was like, okay, how are we going to work this angle right here? If I get him to. And well, at least I didn't tell you to say that the Cowboys were the best. I just wanted to, you know, say something about the Steelers or the Ravens or, you know, one of those guys up there. Cause, hey, man, I played against Bam Bam Morris.
Oh, geez. That's a big dude.
Yeah. I remember him. You tell him. Oh, man, man, that's a different topic. I talk about him and, you know, Bettis. So them guys is different football, man. That was a hard nose running football.
That was grown men football back then, man.
Yes, sir. That's why I had to pull some weight.
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
Anyways, this part of the show where I have some closing words. Let's begin with Justin, and then we'll go to George, and then I'll finish off.
All right, yeah, man. Again, I can't thank you enough for coming on today and talking with us knuckleheads, man. Like I said before, and I said to you many times, you're the main reason I became an Alabama fan, and it's just really an honor to get to talk to a guy that you looked up to growing up, and just amazing career. And you know, every time I see any of your historic moments, I still get chills. And you know, something I'm going to always carry with me. But yeah, it's just been amazing to talk to you and get to know you even more. And definitely looking forward to that grill off if we ever do put it together.
This weekend.
Oh, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir.
George, and any closing words for you? Any words you can say out there for aspiring high schoolers that want to be in your position playing professional or playing college one day?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, that you know, I've been blessed and fortunate enough to be around some really good people, some really good coaches. I've had to deal with adversity and things of that nature. And nowadays, you know, these youngins, they think that things, they always have to be perfect, and that's not what life is really all about. You know, we have to overcome things all the time. So, you know, whatever people may be going through, know that you can rely on your parents or your coaches or your church or whatever it is. And don't ever give up on your dreams because you don't know what's going to happen. Just like I didn't know if I was going to be playing soccer, just being an engineer or whatever. It was one conversation that I had with my mother that changed the outcome of my life today. And that was just taking great advice of someone who cared. And, you know, that led me to being where I am talking to you guys today. So thank you guys, you know, for taking an interest. And me and interacting with me. I love talking to people. I love Alabama football. I love the Dallas Cowboys. I am a big fan, too. I get crazy at the games. I like to keep it real. I like to have fun. So I just hope everyone will, you know, come join me whenever you can. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Teague Football, at Teague Football. That'd be great. Love to interact with you.
Very inspiring, and one of like the most inspiring photos. I know that you've done a lot of you know, great moments, but is the one that you were carrying the American flag after the whole events of back in September 11th of 2011 01, and that was a very, very inspiring moment. And really appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast, Justin. Take us off.
Well, I had a great time again. Just really looking forward to some football season. If you need anyone needs to get in touch with us, you can find me on Twitter at JustinRiley7, and then on Instagram at JustinRiley_7, or follow us on the Sportscast at the Sportscast1. I'm doing a live tweeting on there as well. So if you need me, you can find me. And if something that is going on about Alabama football, you better believe I'm going to be talking about it, and so is George Teague.
And there you have it. Mm-hmm. And you can follow us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. And, of course, we follow anything with college football, professional football, some NBA, some soccer. And, of course, George is one of our followers. We follow George. And, George, we really appreciate you having you on, and hopefully you'll come back again.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate it. Thank you guys very much.
See you. You're welcome. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.